Good morning, good morning. I'd love to welcome you here on a nice sunny day, but alas, it is brighter inside. But I don't think it's just the lights, I think it's the friendship and the fellowship together. It's so nice to see so many people talking and greeting one another before the service. It gives it a real family feel. And speaking of families, I know that we have Tiger Club who will be going out and then coming back later, so it's great to be able to welcome all of you there at the back. I know you think I can't see you and that you're hidden out of the way, but hello to you all. There's not much in the way of notices, but I would just like to say a very big thank you to those of you who have been coming along to morning and evening prayer here and at Holy Trinity. A brief reminder, at Holy Trinity it's at 8:30 in the morning. Here you don't have to wake up quite so early because it's at 5 in the evening. And it's been a real genuine surprise to me how many people have come along. There's been several different groups of people, and one evening, I think, David, we had about 8 people, didn't we? Which was, I was running slightly late and I walked in, and it was a joy to have that number of people meeting in prayer. If you haven't come along yet and would like to just pop along once or twice or just see what it's like, you're more than welcome to do so Monday through Thursday in here at 5 o'clock. But with that, let us remember that we are here to worship God in his presence. We meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now we're going to stand and sing our first hymn, but before we do, let me say a quick prayer for Tiger Club. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you say, "Let the little children come unto me, for I will bless them." We pray for Tiger Club as they go out and spend time learning and doing crafts, that you will bless them and be with them in all that they do. Amen. Our first hymn is a very good hymn for today, because actually when I was writing my sermon for Holy Trinity yesterday, this song kept on going round and round and round in my mind. And so let's stand and sing. Be still for the presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. This is what we hold in our minds as we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought, word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant us newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our collect for this, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, we ask that in the course of this world it may be so peaceably ordered by thy governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis. Chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 34. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, You must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. When I came to the spring today, I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and if she says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered the jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, from whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her servants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched person I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So we stand and sing hymn number 215, after which David will bring us the gospel reading and his sermon.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of collectors and tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom God chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Isn't it amazing what little children can do? Perhaps it's just grandparents who think so. But isn't it astonishing what children can do and see and hear and say? Several years ago, an 18-wheeler was making its way up the motorway, and the driver misjudged the height of his trailer while he was going underneath a bridge. Sure enough, halfway through, the truck got stuck. The officials argued for hours as how to remove the rig. But then an 8-year-old boy suggested that they try letting the air out of the truck's tyres. Now, why did the experts think of that? During the time of drought, an American farm town, citizens were asked to come to a prayer service for rain. And they were asked to bring a tangible expression of their faith. One adult bought a Bible. Another bought a cross. And still another brought a picture of Jesus walking on water. But a little boy brought an umbrella. Why didn't the adults think of that? In our gospel today, Jesus talks about yokes. A yoke was a piece of wood that the farmer placed across the necks of oxen to enable them to work together to pull a plough. The yoke spanned the necks of the two oxen so that they could bind their pulling power. And a lot depended on the yoke. A too heavy yoke would add to the burden. A badly fitted yoke would rub the oxen's necks raw. Some carpenters had a special talent for making yokes. I'm sure if it could, the ox would pray for a yoke maker who would take the time to fit the yoke well, who would polish the wood, who would sand the splinters. Joseph was a carpenter. He would have begun teaching Jesus the art of carpentry as soon as Jesus was old enough to hold a tool. As Jesus grew, he would learn a little more each day. At some point, Jesus too would become a master carpenter. In our scripture today, Jesus spoke of yokes for people, not oxen. He said, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The rabbis sometimes spoke of God's law as a yoke for people to bear. God intended the law to be comfortable, and some people found it so. The psalmist said, "Yahweh's law is perfect, restoring the soul. Yahweh's testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Yahweh's ordinances are true and righteous altogether." The psalmist meant that we could trust God's law. He meant that God's law is a faithful guide. He meant that even a not very bright person could get along by following God's law. But in the hands of the rabbis, the laws have become a heavy burden. The rabbis took a simple law, such as don't work on the Sabbath. By the time they were through with it, you needed a PhD to figure out what you could and couldn't do. The rabbis wrote one big book after another, explaining every jot and tight tittle of the law. They said, you have to know all these things to keep God's law. You have to do all these things to keep God happy. And people despaired because nobody could do all these things. But if the rabbis had a talent for making life complicated, Jesus had a talent for making it simple. The rabbi said, you have to know everything in these books that we have written. But Jesus said, whatever you desire for men to do to you, you shall also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. How could it get simpler than that? When a lawyer asked Jesus what was the most important commandment, he said there were two commandments. Love God and love your neighbour. For the whole law and the prophets depend upon these two commandments. If children can understand how this offer is a wonderful gift to sinners, then I wonder why we adult sinners are so stubborn about hanging on to the garbage of the past. Why do we have such difficulty in grasping a simple thing called forgiveness? Imagine how different the world would be. Instead of harboring resentment and anger at our enemies, we just decided to forgive them. Imagine how different the church would look if we stopped carrying grudges from previous generations. Imagine for a moment how the political landscape would change if candidates refused to attack one another and instead had simple conversations as to what each would do to make this a better nation. Imagine how peaceful life would be if we accepted unique and diverse people for the way they are, instead of being cruel to them until they become like us. These are natural qualities of children. And I believe this is, in part, what Jesus had in mind when he said that we must become like children. But instead, we raise children to become like us. Judgmental, self-centered, sometimes hurtful, often angry, always right. And perhaps Jesus looks down upon us and wonders, why don't they understand about love and grace? Some children ask deep and difficult questions. I remember one occasion in Extreme, the older Tiger Group club, a young girl asked, if I stopped loving God, would he stop loving me? How do you answer that? Naturally, it started quite a long and fruitful discussion. A pastor described the event of death of one of his parishioners. He said, 28 years ago, while I was on an internship, Glenn Carson died. Our son was 4 at the time, and we debated whether or not to take him to the funeral. But he loved Glenn, so we decided to bring him. That night, as we knelt at our prayers, this is what he prayed. Dear God, I'm glad that Glenn is with you. but I'm sad because I will miss him. So childlike, so simple, and so honest. How do we come to see life with fresh eyes like that? How do we get in the loop and understand things that make perfect sense to the simplest of minds, yet confound the wisest and most intelligent people of this world? Jesus said, "Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Amen.
Let us pray. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord, we praise and thank you for your unconditional offer of comfort and renewal to all who reach out to you. Our lives are troubled and wearisome, and proclaiming ourselves as your followers is full of challenges. But you will give us strength to take on that yoke if we will let you be our guide. Give us the faith to accept your calling and be there when we stumble in hard times. Never let us forget that you are our Saviour and that your hard-won victory over death has rescued us to live a life in the light and warmth of your love. Give us the courage and freedom to express our faith to others, that they may also come to know you as their Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the rich diversity of our minds and wills as you have created, enabling us to be free to find our own way of worshipping you. Teach us to keep an open mind to others' ideas and ways of serving you. Help us to be prepared to learn from them, and also to be prepared to share our own works and experiences as we try to follow in your footsteps. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray this morning for the victims of war and turmoil, those who are physically injured in conflict, those who are emotionally scarred in its wake, and those who are persecuted for their desire to live their lives for you. Be with them all, Lord, and bring them comfort and endurance during these dark days. We pray for those who are leaders and decision makers at both national and local level, that they will go about their work with wisdom and understanding of the needs of those for whom they have responsibility. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask for your blessing on church leaders locally and around the world. Give them wise counsel to strengthen the foundations of your church here on earth, and to resist the factions which divide and weaken. Here in the United Benefice, we hold up to you the work of those who have been chosen to minister here. We ask for your blessing on Samuel and Linnea as they settle into their new life here, and on our new ministry team as they look to continue your work. Thank you for all who lead and serve in our churches, and be a part of all our endeavours as a church fellowship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring before you those who are in pain or any form of distress. There are many in our community who are known to be facing difficult times, but there will be some whose suffering is unknown. We thank you for those on the road to recovery, and ask that you continue to hold them close. From our notice sheet, we name Corin, Caden, Mervyn, Christine, and Amanda. And in a short moment of silence, anyone else who is on our heart this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we hold out those loved ones who have died in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. We thank you for their lives among us. Shield those of us who are left from the pain of grief, and by your grace may we continue along our own earthly pilgrimage in the sure knowledge of your promise of everlasting life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand and confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sakes he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you."
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. And so now we sing our next hymn, number 50, "Break Thou the Bread of Life."
Thank you.
service continues on page 7 with the Eucharistic prayer number 2. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup. And we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Grant, O Lord, we beseech you, that the course of this world may be so peacefully ordered by your governance, that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In our sermon, we have heard from David a very thoughtful reflection on the insights of children. And so it seems only right and fitting that we should come to this point and ask Tiger Club what they have been learning about today and what have you been making? Because I can see that you have various bits and pieces with you. So who wants to say what you've been up to? Yeah, you're standing. So what have you made?
We've made camels.
You've made camels. And can you show them so that people can see them? Oh. So, what's the story about the camels?
It was Rebecca and Isaac.
Yeah.
It was when Abraham wanted a wife. Isaac wanted a wife.
Yeah.
And he asked God if a girl would come to the well and give the camels drinks.
Brilliant. So I don't know if everyone at the back was able to hear that, but it was the story of Abraham who wanted a wife for his son Isaac. And the way they knew that she would be the right one was if she came and watered the camels from the well. And so we've got these camels to represent that story for us. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's a good round of applause. Well done for telling that story. As David was telling his sermon about the insights of children, I was reminded of my interview when I came to see whether or not you would choose me to be your new vicar. Now, in theory, the interview was in the afternoon with the Earl and the Archdeacon and the representatives of the parish and the big and important people. But in reality, in the morning, I went to the school and I was grilled by some of the children from the school council. They asked me questions like, what's your favourite superpower that you would have if you could choose one? How would you compare Lent and Ramadan? Straight after one another, I was sitting there, baffled. How will you support non-Christian students in our school? All very good questions. And then I asked them, in turn, what they would choose as their superpower. One wanted to be invisible, one wanted to teleport. Great. One made me stop and think. She said, I would choose the power to never be negative. Isn't that something? And I think that it's wonderful that we have you here. Thank you for sharing the story and for the camel. And I'm afraid, in my usual fashion, I've forgotten what the hymn is. Could you tell us what we're singing next?
Now we shall all stand to sing hymn number 59:3. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you very much. Let's sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
take these gifts and those which are given by various other ways and means. They may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. So let us remember that God chooses to reveal things not to the wise and the intelligent, but to those who become like children, his children. And so may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.